Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. One of Emmy's favorite strategies is to try and control our thought life by establishing strongholds in how we think and what we think about. The enemy has many allies in this strategy of his, and I'm not just talking about his demon horde. Many assist this demonic assault against our thought processes unwittingly and unaware. In our daily lives, we're besieged by thoughts from every direction, most of them negative, and some of them cunningly sinful. A number of studies point out that the average American is exposed to over 3,000 advertising messages a day. This includes radio, TV, internet, billboards, or any other medium that promotes a product, cause, or lifestyle. Assuming that you sleep 8 hours a day, that means that during the other 16 hours a day, you're exposed to over 3.5 advertising messages every minute of the day. During the year, you'll be exposed to over 1 million advertising messages. And by the way, it really grieves me to say that seldom is there an intelligent commercial. Most of them are geared to the base, the vain, the stupid, the perverse, the sexual, and the greedy side of human nature. Now, literally, a stronghold is a house made of thoughts.
That's true. You know, in Luke 11, 21 and 22, Luke 11, verses 21 and 22 in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "When the strong man, fully armed from his courtyard, guards his own dwelling, his belongings are undisturbed. His property is at peace and is secure. But when one stronger than he attacks him and conquers him, he robs him of his whole armor on which he had relied and divides up and distributes all his goods as plunder or spoil." You know, before we were saved, wow, we were the undisturbed possessions of the devil, who was the strong man guarding our souls. Think of that. When we got saved, someone stronger, Jesus, attacked and overpowered the devil, stripped him of his power over us by taking away his armor. I believe the armor in this case consists really of our own thoughts, attitudes, and opinions, which at that time were in agreement with the evil one. What Jesus described as armor, the Apostle Paul identified as the same word as strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4, just a powerful scripture. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4 says this, "For though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds." Hallelujah. Hey, God, he's equipped us. So it's important to understand that our born-again experience did not maybe eliminate erected strongholds in our lives. However, the old things are passed away and new things have become new. But we need to be walking it out in the fullness of Christ by renewing our mind. In other words, renewing our way of thinking. We have now the process that may not be complete, but we are in the process. The strongholds that affect us most are those hidden in our thinking patterns, which you don't necessarily identify as evil, or else we haven't done the spiritual homework necessary to tear them down. There should not be, you know, really any self-condemnation, because being a Christian has not made us perfect, obviously. I can remember when I first got saved and realized things that I thought were good were not necessarily good. It's not unusual to find Christians who are dealing with one of the following strongholds: unbelief, fear, pride, Unforgiveness, lust, greed, a lack of real love, or a combination of these or other things that we haven't even listed due to previous experiences in their lives.
It's true. Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The essence of who we are is reflected by our thought life. What we feed mentally grows. What we starve mentally dies. We've got to take control of our thought processes and recognize that when a negative thought or anything else exalts itself above the knowledge of God and tries to illegally enter the premises of our mind, when that happens, we don't need to allow any unwanted house guest in our mind, and we certainly don't allow them to stay longer or long enough to entertain them in any way.
Amen.
Scripture says that we have the mind of Christ, but there are some things in our brain, our mental filing cabinet, the hard drive of our mind, that Christ would have nothing to do with. There are many believers hearing these words who are facing difficult, if not seemingly impossible, financial situations. If you have a call in your life, everybody does, then you can't expect the devil to lay down and play dead. Indeed, the Lord has equipped you with everything you need to defeat him.
Honey, you know, sometimes we have to ask ourselves, do we trust God enough to work his word? And as we say most continually, worrying about money never pays a bill, doesn't put one penny back in our checking accounts, and it definitely won't get you another job. In fact, in lots of ways, worrying has the opposite effect. It prolongs our financial mess because we're giving place to negative thoughts. We're looking at the problems and the worst case scenario imaginations and thinking, and that just produces fear instead of faith. If you've been laid off your job, you don't need to gather and commiserate with other people who have been experiencing the same fate. You're just going to start rehearsing the hurt, and every time you repeat the story, it's fresh and relived, and the disappointment and the anger and all those things rise up in again. And that's not where you need to go. Have you ever known anyone who was a prisoner of war? My husband and I have been honored. He's been honored even work with some of the brave men who were taken captive by the enemy and endured as prisoners of war for our country. These men will tell you that the first thing that happens is the enemy tries to create an environment of brainwashing. They try to break down your resistance by feeding you a consistent diet of hopelessness and fear. The enemy controls the interrogation process, and with just the objective of one thing, break that captive's will to live, so they'll abandon their sense of right and wrong.
Absolutely.
Wow.
You know, honey, the devil would like nothing better to make us mental prisoners of war.
That's right.
He tries to create an atmosphere of panic and uncertainty. Then it'll bring negative thoughts into our minds, trying to make us think that we have no way of escape. He wants to replace our faith with fear, our determination with doubt, our past with his future that he'd like for us to experience. Mm. The enemy's objective is to build barriers, create strongholds that prevent us from achieving our divine destiny.
That's right.
Here's some keys to tearing down mental strongholds. The first key is fighting the good fight of faith, of waging effective warfare, of tearing down strongholds by following his instructions.
That's right.
When we follow the instructions, and we follow the words of 1 Timothy 6:12, Classic Amplified Bible, which says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
The second key, honey, in fighting the good fight of faith, maybe I should say it this way. The second key in fighting the good fight is faith.
That's
really what it is.
That's good. Good emphasis.
Faith, as we've often said, is not invisible. Most people say, oh, faith is invisible. But you know what? It isn't, and we can show it to you from Scripture. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Note that the thing hoped for is invisible. That's right, we don't have it yet. But faith is the evidence that makes it real. There's no such thing as invisible evidence. Can't go in a courtroom and win a case with invisible evidence. The thing hoped for, yes, is invisible. But if you have faith for a new house, or the house may be invisible, but or the car or whatever, it may be invisible right now, but your faith is not invisible. Matter of fact, it is so real within you. What you're hoping for is so real within you. It is like a tangible evidence. And that's what it means about we're fighting the good fight of faith, of that which is visible. Our faith becomes so real to us that it's visible in our spiritual mind. How do we make that which is seemingly invisible visible? You've got to see it in the spirit. In other words, we begin to see it, we believe it, we confess it, we expect it, we never give up on it until the manifestation comes. One other thing that we feel led to share is 1 Timothy 6:12, this time in the Classic Amplified. And it says it this way: "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of the eternal life to which you were summoned and for which you confessed the good confession of faith before many witnesses." The verse says, "For which you confess the good confession of faith before many witnesses." The key to winning your good fight of faith is your confession, which makes what's invisible become real and visible to you in the spirit.
Yes.
If we want to be winners in life, we need to follow the first two keys of fighting the good fight: following instructions and nurturing our faith.
The third key in fighting to win is to finish what you've been fighting for. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Mm. Never give in nor give way to negative thoughts. This mental and spiritual resolve will allow you to not only fight the good fight, but tear down every enemy stronghold that he tries to erect in your life.
Hallelujah.
Think about that.
Wow.
You have the authority to take captive any and every thought that would exalt itself above the knowledge of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We have a 1-2 punch. We have this morning's rich thoughts for breakfast, and tonight is Sunday Night Live.
Hallelujah.
And we do want to mention one other thing before we mention tonight's Sunday Night Live. We have a precious friend named Lejeune, and her brother's been going through, he had a pretty desperate surgery we didn't know about until after we'd done the program. However, he is recuperating. Please keep him in prayer. He needs to recuperate and get out of that hospital.
That's Lejeune and her brother's Bertie.
Yeah, sweet Bernard. Okay.
And then tonight?
Tonight at
6 p.m. Eastern?
Yeah, 6 p.m. Yep. I said 6:30.
That's all right.
8:30.
You can watch on Facebook at Brother Harold, or you can go to haroldherring.com, click the button. It says, "Watch Harold and Bev Sunday Night Live." There are free outlines, teaching outlines.
Amen.
On both sites. Well, till tonight or every morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.